Mean O-Line Media presents the Business First Podcast.
Hi, all, and welcome to a new episode of Business First with Sonia Aline. I am your host. And today we have in the studio Brenton Thomas, who is the founder and CEO of Twibi, which is a digital marketing company. Welcome, Brenton. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good, 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 good. So I'd seen you had done an interview not too long ago where you talked about, you know, you had gone to college, and we could talk about some of the things that you did before, but you weren't really sure about what you wanted to do. You were introduced to marketing, and that really grabbed your attention. That was roughly 10 or 11 years ago. How would you say marketing has changed from you falling in love with it to where you are in your company today?
Yeah, so I've tried to start a couple businesses before Twibi. This is my third company that I've tried to start. Mm-hmm. And so the first two companies, the very first one, it was called MindSight. And it was actually more research-based, marketing research-based, and doing more like email marketing, which email, obviously, that's still around. And very little digital marketing. Yeah, digital marketing was, you know, in its infancy. This was, I don't know, maybe 11 years ago. But now, in today's time, running lots of Google ads, Facebook ads. We all know, most business owners know what that is in today's time. I would say back then, most people probably weren't really looking into that as much, but much more digitally focused now.
Most of us know that the small business category is a big category, right? You can have businesses that are barely, breaking, 20, 30K a year to businesses that are doing, close to 10 million, right? But for many of the smaller businesses on the smaller scale, marketing is still a really tough space for them. Most people think that they don't have the money for it. And beyond not even having the money for it, most people really don't understand what digital marketing means. And what I have seen a lot of is, particularly people of my age, I see what a lot of people will do is just get a young person, right? Like just get somebody young and put them in charge of your social media, and that should do the job, which I don't have to tell you is not a strategy for marketing. But what is it that you find that people are missing? And if first, let's do that. But that's what I'd really like us to focus on today, like really getting people to understand how important marketing it is. And it's not just getting the young person who has, who knows how to find followers. That's not the marketing strategy.
I've been doing digital marketing for 8 years now. And so I really see it as it's an art and a science combined, right? It's the two of them together. And you have to execute both really well in order to get the outcome you want. And so I see the art side done really well. When I say art, like your creative, like how you position the brand, your photography, the copy you write, et cetera, that's the art side. And so I see it done really nicely on Instagram. There's quite a few brands that do that right. But I would say the area that struggles the most is the science part. And so more specifically, when I say the science, that's like the algorithm and understanding how to use the algorithm to your advantage and how to optimize campaigns. And you really have to balance the algorithm and machine learning against your knowledge of paid ads. And the two of those together creates the science. And so I think that's where the biggest area of improvement is for most businesses I work with.
So could you break down the science just a little bit? Because again, that's a term I hear a lot of people use. I use it too, the algorithms, right? But do people really understand what that means?
Yeah, I'm more on the science side, so not to get too technical, but I'll use tools like Google Tag Manager. And so basically I isolate events on the website. So it can be any event you want of importance, right? So for most businesses I work with, it's purchases or you want leads. Those tend to be the main two things. So when a purchase takes place, you isolate the event and you send it into the ad buying platform. So let's say like Google Ads, you send it into Google Ads, and then you then take that information and use it to train the algorithm. And there's different ways to train the algorithm. You can base it on the number of purchases or the value of the purchases. So I would say that's the science piece that it's a little technical to set that up correctly.
And how have people been responding to your work? Like particularly folks who have been new to even understanding this digital space, or are most of your customers quite familiar with what the process is and how it has to work?
So I have a mix of clients. And so I find either whether the client understands quite a bit about what we're trying to accomplish or if they don't, either way, I tend to do a lot of education and like really explaining what I would consider to be, you know, maybe somewhat complex topics, but I just distill it down into like its simplest form and just explain it in a very simple way. And so I think that education piece allows my clients to still follow along in the process and understand what we're trying to achieve and how we plan to get there.
And so someone who is doing the creative piece really well, right? And I'm sure we have some of those listeners who are saying, you know what, like to your point earlier, like I feel like I have good content. Like I, you know, I have a videographer who's doing great work for me, but I'm just not, you know, I actually, you know, I put some money on these ads, right? To boost them. I should on my content to boost it, but I'm not really getting, I hear so many people say, Instagram's just not doing anything for me. Like I actually just spoke to somebody that like, I'm on Instagram because I know I need it, but it's not really doing anything for me.
Yeah. My response to that is, okay. So on the science side, there's something called learning mode or learning phase. And so in order to teach the algorithm, you need a certain number of events to take place in a certain amount of time. And then once you reach that threshold, it then teaches the algorithm and then it'll run a lot smarter and more efficiently. So let's say you want more purchases on your website. Let's say you have an e-commerce store and you want more purchases. Well, you need 50 purchases in 1 week. And that's enough to exit the learning phase inside of like a, like Facebook ads or Google ads. And then once you clear that, it has enough data inside of your ad account to then understand who to show ads to in the future based on historical data. So I would say if Instagram's not doing it for you, unfortunately, you'll have to spend more to get those, the number of events that you need. You'll have to spend more money to reach that number, and then you're clear and it should start to run a lot better. It's unfortunate, right? Because you want to test it.
Right. And I think the other challenge is just not even understanding it. So, and I'll give you a personal example. So I watched a podcast just over the weekend, right? And listened to two men talk about a YouTube strategy that seemed like this was great. Like I was just his goal. Like they're giving us information, this, that, and the other thing. I think I will try that. Right. And then I talked to, and they did this maybe 8 months ago. Then I talked to a videographer because, you know, now I just have to, you know, get the person and do all this stuff. And so he's been doing a lot of this content. He says, oh, no, no, all those rules have changed. Like, you know, everything has changed right now. So this is what you need to do. Right. And he actually talked about some of what you're saying. You know, you need to do this in this amount of time frame and you need to do certain things in another time frame so that you can reach, you know, these different levels so that you can execute on goals. And so the technology is moving so quickly. How is it? I mean, it's your job to stay on top of it. So, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But for small businesses, how do you, like, what would you suggest people do in terms of managing just how quickly things are changing? And whether that's somebody like hiring somebody like you, or like logging, taking, you know, you say you do education, you know, finding you for, you know, the different programs that you offer. But what would you recommend that small businesses do so they could just keep up with all the changes and not waste their time?
Okay. Yeah. So obviously the easiest way is to hire someone like me. And I would just let you know when certain things are coming up. And right now, there's a lot of things happening, to your point. Third-party cookies are being phased out on Chrome. So it's going to mess up people's tracking ability to report on what the outcome of your ads were. But that's a whole side subject. But in terms of staying up to date with everything that's happening right now, so when I'm inside of Google Ads and I am a part of like the client's ad account, Google Ads will send me updates and let me know various things that are about to take place. So that's one place. But I also am a part of a newsletter called Stacked Marketer. And so they send updates, and it's on a daily basis, Monday through Friday. And so they'll send you all the things you need to know about, you know, TikTok potentially being banned in the United States, to small changes in your, in like the ad buying platforms, SEO. We'll talk about email marketing, trends, just overall trends, buyer patterns, market research. All of it's like summarized, and then you can click links, and it'll take you out to other websites to read more.
Okay, so you really do have to stay, you know, but when marketing 20, 30 years ago was such a specific science, and it didn't change as often as it's changing right now, at the pace that it changes currently, as a business owner, is that a stressful part of your business, or is that just something that you understand and because you have been a part of it for so long that you just understand that this is just how it is?
Well, it's very stressful because there's so many privacy laws that are coming out, and the privacy makes it harder and harder for me to do my job. And so what would be a very simple process, like, for example, conversion tracking, right? So that's basically tagging up events, and conversion could be anything. So conversion tracking of purchases on your website, or conversion tracking when a lead submits like a form on your website. Those are all conversions, right? And so that process is very simple for me. Privacy laws are making it so that in July or third quarter of this year, you have to do it a different way. And so now I have to spend more hours to do the same thing that would have took maybe 3 hours. Now it will take 15 hours. So it's changing quite a bit. And then you throw in AI, and in my opinion, AI is not smart enough to just replace all these jobs, but there's a lot of changes.
Right. Do you think that, and I don't know if there's something you'd want to answer online, but is this the way you see your business going forward, or do you see that you will have to make significant changes in the type of business that you currently have based on how the trends are happening and how things are changing so rapidly?
I still think I'll have the same business. I just think my process will have to change. I still think I can have the same outcomes. A lot more effort has to be put in for the same outcome.
You talked about AI not replacing all the jobs that people think that it will replace. What are your thoughts on either how useful AI is, how dangerous it is, and its efficiencies?
Yeah, this is just my personal opinion, but AI, at least in the capacity that I've been using it, you know, I think it's great. If you ask it to write something, it gives you, you know, a very generic response. And so I typically will have to write out the exact, like in my own style, I'll write out what I want, whether it's for ad copy or, about to send out, working on an email I'm about to send out or something like that. And then I'll then ask AI to write my original thoughts. I don't really give it like a prompt. And then it turns out pretty good. I think outside of that, it's still in its infancy. It's not quite smart enough, in my opinion.
Want to just go back to the beginning. You had talked about on another interview that you had done, I watched, where you had said your original goal was to be an NBA player, right? And so I wanted you to talk a little bit about that journey, you know, your love of sports and basketball, and what made you decide to pursue marketing.
Wow, I don't know where to start with that story. That goes back to a long ways back. I'd say my identity was probably highly connected to basketball, all the way up until the age of maybe 21. And so I played at Arizona State, and James Harden was there, so I got to play with him for 1 year. And basketball, you know, it's very time consuming in college.
Right.
Just playing full time, and you don't get paid anything. You know, this is before all these athletes can get paid for their likeness. But I felt like the time I was putting in, I wasn't getting what I wanted out of it. So at some point I decided to quit. And then just started working a couple of corporate jobs, and that wasn't quite the right fit. And then being an entrepreneur was the right fit.
What would you say to someone who is in a corporate position, right, and thinking about leaving, but is uncomfortable? You've had several different careers, but you said this entrepreneurial journey has been a perfect fit for you.
Yeah, it has. So it's not for everyone. I will say entrepreneurship, I definitely work more hours. And you know, maybe if you have family and you need your income to be very steady and not affect it, then maybe entrepreneurship's not worth it for you, and it's not the right type of lifestyle for you. But on the other flip side, if you have a lot of time and you're willing to be responsible for everything and be in a lot of uncomfortable situations, and really grow as a person. I used to have a lot of social anxiety all the way up till 30. And so I'm 33 now. And I've had my own business for 3 years, and just all my anxiety has really tapered out. Because I spend so much time on the phone, just meeting all different types of people like yourself, and really good for the soul overall.
Oh, very good. Very good. So what do you think is for next for you and your business? What do you think what are you in the middle of in terms of the next evolution for your business?
Yeah. So, just trying to keep up with all these privacy laws and, adjusting process for that. And then, of course, trying to use AI to our advantage. And that's text-based AI, image-based AI, video-based AI. And we were using AI to write blog posts, and we had them SEO'd really nicely. And then Google put out an update, and our metrics. It looks like a mountain peak inside of Google Search Console, wow, which tracks how well your SEO is going. And so it was ranking really well, and then it just fell off right after Google's update. So we're still trying to figure out how to use AI to our advantage. And then other than that, let's see, me and my team are just, doing some outreach, doing sales calls.
And what would you suggest to, so we want people to know that you're available for hire if they're struggling with their digital needs, but what is the one thing that you think that people should be on top of as a business owner and to stay focused on as they are growing their business on the digital side, on the science side? As much as they can, like in terms of anything that you think that people should be aware of or they should be on top of as they are handing over maybe their work to their intern or, I just see a lot of that with small businesses. They just bring in an intern and go, we'll just have this intern with no guidance. They will guide interns on every other aspect of their business except social media. And so what would you suggest to someone just in terms of to stay on top of?
So a lot of it's experience. So, that's kind of tough to pick up the experience, but I will give some advice based on different types of companies. And then that'll steer, hopefully, based on the type of business that a listener has, it'll push you into the right starting point, right? Okay. So if you want to drive leads, I would use Google Ads because the person's intent for whatever they're searching for, they're currently in that space to buy that thing, right? And there's no, typically like lead generation, usually it's for like services, not so much products. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a service, it's possible, but there's really no like special way to really show like an accountant, like the photography doesn't look that great, right? It's going to be someone on a computer, like typing, and that doesn't look good in Facebook ads. So I always go with Google Ads to drive leads. So that's the first type of business. For the second type of business, if you want to drive purchases, you have an e-commerce store. I always go with Facebook ads because there is that creative element. You can show products in different ways. The person's holding it, in different lighting, or you can position the products in all different types of nuances. So those are really the kind of the core two types of business. Those are really the two core outcomes you want, either leads or revenue with the companies I work with. Mm-hmm. And so it's either Google or Facebook.
So if people want to connect with you and follow your progress or even hire you, how can we follow you and stay connected?
Yeah. So I'll send you a link for the show notes. You can use my Calendly link. Anyone listening, If you don't feel like, you know, staying up to date on all the different trends of digital marketing, you definitely hire someone like me. You can also go to our website, twibbyagency.com. So TWIBI agency.com.
Thank you so much for taking, I know you have a busy schedule and you have to get out of here, but I am so glad that you took time to stop by and share your expertise. It has helped me. So I am definitely going to be following you, and I'm sure it has helped our listeners. Thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be back again next week with another great guest. Take care.
The Business First podcast is hosted and produced by Sonia Aline, executive producer Ken Johnson. Find the Business First podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast. On social media, on IG, at business_first_podcast. Follow the Mean Old Line Media Podcast Network on IG at Mean Old Line Media. Get the Mean Old Line Media app in the App Store or Google Play. The Business First Podcast is a Mean Old Line Media production.